Recorded live at the WonkyWeeds.com studio, it's the Selling Out Show with your hosts, Nate Korzynski and David Chicharro.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Chicharone, and over here at my side is nobody. That's right, I am flying solo today. Nate Korzynski has a case of laryngitis. Yep, he was gargling with some rusty nails, and that'll get you, if you know what I mean. So, it's just me. And I got a few thoughts to share with y'all today, if you'd bear with me a little bit. Maybe you can relate. But, you know, I am nothing if not a trendsetter, really uber hip and down with what the kids are doing. So therefore, let's lead off by talking about some entertainment. Yes, indeed. The box office. Yeah, I don't really go to see movies very often. I don't care for the cost. The problems that it causes, whether it be, you know, getting up and leaving my house, that seems to be the biggest one, especially when I have all this entertainment at my fingertips right here in my living room. So why would I even bother to go spend enormous amounts of money on overpriced popcorn? And the tickets are kind of secondary, aren't they? Really? Tickets cost you whatever, $8, $9, you know, hey, no big deal. The movie's cheap, right? And then you get there, hey, two sodas and a popcorn, 25 smackaroos. Whoa, my wallet is weeping, my friends. But anyway, this was a rare occurrence, but worth it. Because I went out to go check out this little ditty called Blue Beetle. Yep, the Blue Beetle. Superhero movie. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, I mean, really, what else is there out there if it's not a rehashed vehicle of some sort, a movie about an action figure, or a superhero of some kind, you know? But Blue Beetle actually holds a special place in my icy cold heart for a few reasons. One, it was one of my favorite superheroes when I was a kid. Now, this film in particular isn't focused on that version. It's a new iteration of the character, or fairly new. Since he came out in, I believe, 2005, 2006. But still, hey, the concept looked great. Something I could take my kid to go see. So let's do this, you know? And I was super happy that I did because I enjoyed the dickens out of it. Loved every second of it. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, feel free to stick your fingers in your ears for probably maybe the next 67 seconds, because I am going to reveal a couple spoilers that I found fairly interesting. Okay, guys, for those who don't want to be spoiled, yet again, shove those hot dogs in your ear holes, I guess. So, first off, I think it's pretty interesting that this is probably the first superhero film ever made where the origins of the hero are thanks to an ill-timed dump. Yes! His sister decided she needs to drop some dukes. And if she had not done that, holy moly, we wouldn't have a Blue Beetle movie at all. So that's kudos to you, whoever wrote this son of a gun. Second of all, comic accuracy. Well, you know, any kind of adaptation takes its liberties. Granted, and that's okay. But this one, I think, was exceptionally clever because we did, in fact, have the appearance of the equipment of the Blue Beetle that I liked from the 80s, Ted Kord. Yeah, super cool. Very happy to see that. And I kind of fanboyed out in the theater where other folks were just kind of, you know, enjoying their overpriced treats. And I was like, whoa, that's some deep comic book of cuts here, folks. And yeah, I was probably the only person that got it. Not to mention, there's only like maybe 8 people in the entire ginormous theater that I was sitting in. So I'm not one to debate how much money movies should make and what the deal is, because realistically, and this is a really old, tired conversation topic of mine, I think you should just donate the money to charity. Yep, that's right. Spending whatever, hundreds of millions of dollars on making a movie while people starve in the streets. Jeez, talk about first world problems. Boy, do we have them, folks. But still, If you haven't gone to see the movie, I do recommend it. George Lopez aside, because if you do find him annoying, he will continue to annoy the ever-living daylights out of you. But that is my Blue Beetle talk, I guess, in a nutshell, because I don't want to dedicate too much time to it. Because that's not the only thing I watched. No. I found some other interesting things to pique my interest. And if you're still sitting there with blocking your ears or whatever, you feel free. I don't know how you can do a cue to warn you, since this is only audio. I could just scream at the top of my lungs, and maybe that would show a peak on the screen or some kind of noise fluctuation to make you think, one, it's safe, or two, I've been murdered. Either which way, I'm not going to do that. So you might just sit here for the next 20 to 30 minutes looking like hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil or something. So you all know one of my favorite streamers is the Hulu. Well, with that, a documentary I absolutely love. I watched it a few times already. Is Too Funny to Fail. It's one about the Dana Carvey Show from 1996. If you haven't heard about the Dana Carvey Show, surprise, you're not alone. And hence why there's a documentary about it that exists today, which is by far just excellent material. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you go check that out. But I was zipping through that. I kind of fell asleep for a few minutes. I did mention I've watched it a couple times, so I can be forgiven. But when I woke up, Hulu decided to play something based on suggestions because I was watching a documentary. So when I arose from my slumber, I noticed it was playing a film called A Glitch in the Matrix. Why is this so interesting to me? Well, because there's always certain percentages of the population that believe things or go full throttle on ideals that I find very foreign, that tend to be very different than mine. So, of course, they're bizarre and they're wrong because that's just how it works. You know what I mean? But I wasn't really aware that this little segment of humanity believes wholeheartedly that we are nothing more than part of a simulation. Yeah, almost like a video game, you know, like a sim, or, you know, you're just characters that someone is playing and enjoying themselves thoroughly. In my case, I don't know, that person really needs to get a life, but alas, I digress. The reason why I found this really interesting was not only did it open up a unique avenue, I guess, into the psyche of people I wasn't aware existed, they also kind of delved into the fact that it's gotten so, I don't want to say the word severe, but it's gotten mainstream enough where there is something called the Matrix defense in law. So apparently there was someone who murdered a family member and claimed that they believed they were part of a simulation, just like their favorite movie, The Matrix, and used that to, or the lawyers were going to attempt to use that as a form of insanity to possibly reduce some jail time on that. Well, you know, that really got me thinking. Not the murder part, per se, or the killing. It's just more of, okay, could I possibly buy into that too? When I say that, I was just trying to like put someone else's shoes on, you know, where I'm going, all right. So our universe, right, how it extends out, we don't know the size of it. I mean, we don't know the expanse or how far. We don't really know what the hell's going on, okay? let me not expend any more words trying to explain that anymore. We just don't. I mean, that's why we have religion. And this is stuff that me and Nate have talked about in the past. Fear of the unknown, something to make you feel more comfortable. And I get that. I totally understand it and I get it. Same here, where there's just, you know, so much that we can't explain. So it's just, hey, you know, why wouldn't we be playing a part in someone else's fantasy? I mean, I get that. I really do. I'm sure if you had to select the character, though, to play, it would be, I don't know, someone rich and famous and who can do anything they want whenever they want to. But I guess maybe you'd have to level up and earn that, get some badges or something. And in the meanwhile, you're stuck with me, fat schlub, level 001. But So, you know, I just mentioned that kind of got me pondering a little bit. And I had just woken up, so I was still a little bit groggy, you know, again, just being a goofball. And I go, hey, you know, I'm waiting for this package. Let me check the USPS website. And I check the link, and it says, not delivered. All right. And I stopped, and I went, if this is really a simulation, I'm going to hit refresh, and it's going to say delivered. So I did. I hit refresh, and guess what it said? Delivered in or at mailbox. Holy moly, hachi machi, here we go. Hit the A button, up, down, left, right, cheat code, Contra. Yeah, man, I was kind of freaked out. I was like, what the hell's going on here? This is really, really zany and bizarre. But you know, what coincidence, right? We love coincidences. Well, just this morning, a similar thing happened, and it all involves tech as well, where I went, I'm waiting for this email reply. I've been waiting 2 days. Are they ever getting back to me? Well, if I open my browser right now and there's a reply, gotta be a simulation. And egads, I opened the damn thing and there was a reply. So freaky deaky, my friends. And just not to get, again, because I wasn't like fully vested in the documentary per se, even though it did pique my interest. One of the people on there, one of the commenters was like, I've noticed that thing. I almost can will things to happen, wherein sometimes I may have something dwelling on my brain. And then when I'm out in the real world, I might see, as luck would have it, coincidences happen that make me start to think, geez, that's just too on the nose, you know? But anyway, it was still, if you're into that kind of stuff, it's worth checking out, I guess. A Glitch in the Matrix from Magnolia Films on the Hulu. Yeah. And they don't pay me to promote their stuff, by the way. I just, yet again, I'm just watching that stuff all day long. I just finished This Fool Season 2, which was excellent. If any of you have spent the time to watch Season 1, Season 1 was a little bit better, but Season 2 is a admirable follow-up to the initial foray into this fool universe. Jeez, now I'm racking my brain. What have I been watching? What have I... Because, you know, I'm trying to keep this as a common thread here. That's what I do. I'm trying to streamline everything for you guys, because I know you're enthralled by knowing what I have my eyes glued to on the boob tube. Oh, I will say this. Watched The Lord of the Rings after many years. It's almost like a easy thing to put on, because you know how it goes, right? I'm going to sit and have something to eat, or you're with your significant other or what have you. Let's see what we should watch. And scrolling becomes a longer activity than the actual thing that you spend time watching. Am I right? I mean, you got so many options. You got so many things to choose from. They suggest things for you. There's different genres. You know, what's trending? What's new? What's going on? All right, well, let me just put on The Lord of the Rings. That's easy enough, right? Bing, bang, boom. The point of me bringing this up is it doesn't really hold up very well. And I'm sure for the detractors of the film, the people who were not into it the first time around, who could criticize it, there's nothing to salvage here to use as ammunition to change their mind. It didn't age so great. Which is kind of weird saying something that's a fantasy story anyway. Like, oh yeah, it's about Middle Earth. How well could it have aged in the last 20 years? Well, I mean, the effects were kind of eh, you know. And then you start realizing, yeah, there is a lot of homoeroticism going on with these hobbits, man. There really is. I know Sam is into chicks, right? But, geez, for like 1,000 hours beforehand, when you go through the three movies, you start going, wow, you know. Him and Frodo, man, there's an item. There's a hot ticket going on. He's willing to do anything for Mr. Frodo. Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom. Sam wants to see you in your undies. He wants to see them soon. Watch Cocaine Bear. Sucked. Terrible. Yeah, nostalgia, you know, I don't know. It's got a... All right, so nostalgia doesn't have a cap on it. There's not like a limit to nostalgia that I can ingest, you know what I mean? but it's got to have certain vibes to it, to which Cocaine Bear did not have. Now, Cocaine Bear was not on Hulu. It was on Amazon Prime. So I'm kind of switching streamers here for you folks, because I'm sure you all have the same streamers I do, because we all pay for stuff we don't even know what the hell we're paying for anymore. Do you even remember how many of these services you subscribe to? No, it's an automatic payment, comes out of your wallet every month, $17, bing, bang, boom, before you know it. Geez, I got like 20 of these damn things. But yeah, Cocaine Bear, I wanted more vibes out of it, especially with the era that it came from, being the 80s. There wasn't enough synth. Give me some more synth, you cowards. Elizabeth Banks, the director of this film, give me more synth. I just didn't think it was going to be as funny as it should have been. You could say, well, it was a goofy concept to begin with. Dave, calm yourself down here. What exactly are you expecting? It's not going to be, you know, an Oscar-worthy film. Although, what do the Oscar critics know? Still, I really felt kind of like my time was wasted sitting there. And that's the thing, too, is once you get into it, you're like, well, there's only 45 minutes left. Might as well finish it. That's how they get you. That's how they get you. And I guess two more things. And then we'll move on to a different topic. There's really something that's been itching my brain I want to ask you guys about. But that same day, and I kind of want to call this a mini movie marathon day on Z Prime. So I let off the Cocaine Bear. I mean, how could you not? I mean, you would think on paper, that's a great way to start off a little viewing that's going to consume your entire day. And then I jumped into Violent Night. I know, it's not Christmas. What the hell am I doing? Well, it's free. It's on the Amazon Prime. So let me watch it with David Harbour. Yeah, that's another one. Wasn't that great. So there I was, two for two, sitting there going, geez, I'm just totally wasting my life. This simulation has gone sideways, man. This is not working out for whoever is vested in playing the character David Chicharone. Just not working. Not that it was terrible, but I mean, really, this could be said for most movies, I suppose, but you've seen everything in the commercial, the puns, the little Santa crap, John Leguizamo is a bad guy, wasn't really feeling it. I don't know, I think I could beat him up, you know? I know he's, like, rich and he's been in all these movies. I mean, crap, he was in The Fan with De Niro and Snipes, for Christ's sakes, and Ellen Barkin. I would have retired right then. So you think he knows, like, some form of martial arts, right? All rich people do, because they got nothing better to do. It's like, hey, I'm loaded. I got this big mansion. Let me hire a private karate teacher. Let me start chopping some wood with my bare hands, because I'm rich and I can do whatever I want. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think I could totally take John Leguizamo, even when he was young. I mean, now would be fine too. So if anybody knows him, we could set this up. And I would totally donate the proceeds of this battle to charity, because that's what I believe in. I do. I really do. Well, provided it's not my money all the time. But I'm willing to get punched in the face by John Leguizamo and, I don't know, give a kid a new bicycle or something. But anyway, so the final film I watched was Prey. No, not Prey is in Hallelujah. But it was an Idris Elba movie where a man goes to Africa with his two daughters after his wife's death to visit her homeland and kind of reconnect with their roots. But they unfortunately get attacked and chased and hunted by a rogue lion. So you could say this is Jaws in Africa. That would be apt. That would make sense. I get it. But that was probably the most enjoyable of those three films that I watched. So it would be definitely Prey is greater than Violent Night, which is greater than Cocaine Bear. The bar was set low with the bear, but still. Prey, I say check it out. I think it was a good movie. It's definitely and here's another term I've used before, like the Hangover movie. Like, I don't drink anymore, but back in the day, on like a Sunday afternoon, you just couldn't move. You're completely incapacitated because you just wrecked yourself the night before. You were, debauchery was like not even a word. It couldn't even compare to the activities that you were up to. So the next day, man, you can barely open your eyes, but like, I need something on TV. And you put on TNT or whatever. This is back when everybody had regular broadcast TV, and you could just leave something on and veg out. That Prey would serve that role, in that role, very well, I think. So yeah, you know, plus if you would like to see a lion, you know, F some people up, there you go. Even better. Win-win all day. All right, so before I get to my other topic of the day, I want to thank the partners of this program who are probably right now absolutely horrified at the conversation topics I have decided to dig into all by my lonesome. But I do want to thank Northland Vapor, Alpine Hemp, Real DBG, and Wonky Weeds, whose studio I am sitting in right now. Those are all .coms, so remember that. NorthlandVapor.com, WonkyWeeds.com, RealDBG, blah, blah, blah. You get the drift, Wonky Weeds. They're all under the same banner. So if you are in the need for vape juice, relaxation, smoking cessation, CBD, Delta products, edibles, tinctures, relaxation products for pets, you name it, you can go to any of those sites and find them. Gummies, capsules, liquids, balms, baby, whatever you need. The best part is, though, when you do visit them, you can use code SELLINGOUT23 to save 23% off your entire order. Super good deal. I know we're still in the throes of summer here, or at least I know I am. I'm in the Texas heat right now, and it's, like, brutal. The only person who can't feel sympathy, I guess, is someone who lives in Arizona. Put it that way. That's how hot it is right here right now. But still, you know what? Gift giving is right around the corner, people. Use these coupon codes. Maybe someone needs a birthday gift, and you're like, hey, Grandma, you're stressed out, man. You're really thinking you're living in this simulation and that your avatar sucks and you really need a new direction. Well, here, pop some CBD, baby. That's if you call your grandmother baby, or you call her whatever you want. But anyway, make sure you check them out. They are awesome. I love them. Definitely use that coupon code. Last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. What have I not said about Spunk Lube already in our previous episodes? Stuff rules. It really does. It's a lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? If you visit spunklube.com today, you can have a package delivered discreetly to your door, and guess what? You'll be thanking me later. So make sure you check out spunklube.com. One thing I did fail to mention, because I'm just doing this all off the top of my head. I don't have any papers in front of me because that's how good I am. The Northland Vapor, Real DBG, Wonky Weeds, and the AlpineHemp.com. I like saying .com. I love saying it. But anyway, if you go visit Northland Vapor, you can see their location for all their retail stores. So it's not only just on the internet. There is stores that you can walk into, look at their selection, meet a friendly sales associate, tell them what you need, and say, hello, the Selling Out Show sent me. And they're going to say, huh? And you'll be like, I got a coupon code, baby. I call you baby like I call my grandma. Yeah. So anyway, something that has been bothering me lately is bugs. Yeah, nobody likes bugs. Come on. But if I had to ask you sincerely, truthfully, if you could only choose one, all right, what's the worst bug? What is the worst icky, gross, creepy crawler on the face of the earth? Now, a lot of people are going to say spiders. I get that. I understand. A lot of legs, a lot of eyeballs. That kind of combo, ugh, that'll do it to you. But to me, personally, and if you've ever visited Mexico or if you've ever lived in a hot climate, now I am, yet again, I reiterate, I'm in Texas, so I'm very close to the border. I had never seen these before I went south. But the large brown cockroach, yeah. And those MFers can fly. Like, they're big, right? And maybe you've even seen them if you've ever vacationed somewhere that's really warm, they're like in the trees, and just zip by. Oh, God. Oh, the hair is standing up in places it shouldn't be sticking up on. It really shouldn't. I'm going to chafe. But, okay. So that's it for me, right? Everybody's got their own thing, and that's fine. Now, if you saw one of these things, you got two instincts, right? Fight or flight. You'd either take off your shoe, use a tennis racket, as if we just have those laying around. But anyway, you just and you'd smack the living crap out of it. Da, da, da. I got you. You do not have the same right to exist on the earth that as I do. You did. Fuck the ecosystem. You gone. Or you scream and run away. Either which way. I was wondering, would we be or react the same way if bugs didn't look like bugs? What if bugs look like little people? Little people, little naked people. Run around. So, okay, let's say you hate ants, and they're in your pantry, and they're getting into your boxes of cereal, and they're forming a line, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they're going in and attacking your food, and you grab a can of Raid, but instead of ants, you look down, just a bunch of little people snacking on some saltines that you didn't seal up properly. Would you still spray them with Raid? Would you still smack them with a shoe? I think, to be honest, we'd probably all be more inclined to be scream and run away. Ah, oh my God, that's a little person. And I know. Like Nate, we talked about Willow in the past. It was those little dudes in Willow, all right? But let's say these ones don't speak a language. But hey, you know what? If you smack them with a shoe and you do smush them, they have the same anatomy as us. So you smack them and it's not just goo. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, there's a spleen. There's a little teeny tiny spleen there. It's the size of a pencil tip. Yeah. Would you still kill a bug if it looked like a person? Now, I've asked myself this a few times before I sat before the microphone today. And what I came up with is, well, we already treat people like crap anyway, don't we? We, look at the homeless as if they're some kind of substandard species. And they're the same size as us. They are us. We don't treat them with any respect or generally want to help them. You know, hey, roll around in your filth, homeless guy. I don't care. I got money. I'm here sitting in my car, cranking the AC. Enjoy that sign-holding business, D-bag. So that's the kind of person who thinks that would probably, yeah, smack him, kill him, and enjoy the spleenage, right? But then the other half of me is going, well, I think there would be a large section of the population who are or would squash a bug that would think twice if it was a little dude or a little dudette. I don't know. Anyway, I'd love to hear what you think. So you can reach out to me at sellingoutshow@gmail.com and let me know, would you kill a little person if they weren't really people? Yeah. And I'm sure I'll share this information with Nate. Now, if you want to, you can also go on our social media at Selling Out Show on the Instagram, Twitter. I think it's still Twitter. It might be that stupid X thing. Imagine if you were playing a simulation, you had to play Elon Musk. So what's worse, the character or the person playing the character? Because that guy's a piece of crap. Anyway. And I was thinking about diversifying now that Twitter is crap into a different platform. We're on Facebook, apparently, at Selling Out Show 1. I don't ever look at it. Nate runs it because I have no patience for Facebook, which is the way Twitter is headed for me. I'm about to be done with it permanently. I use a lot of the TikTok now, but yet again, we've talked about that. If you're interested in any of those other topics that I kept referencing that we've spoken about before, check out our archives and listen to some old episodes. I am sure you will dig it. They are fairly timeless, you know, and that's what we have them up for. You can listen to them any day of the week, whenever you want, with whomever you want, little bug people included. And I think that does it for me today. I am about to go probably watch some more stuff, consume some more things, and think some more strange thoughts, because that's what I do. That's how I roll. I do want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to me today. It means a lot. I love you all individually, my little bug people. And that's about it. Virtual hugs for all of you, suckers. So I am Dave, and I am Dave, and I am Dave, because Nate's not here. And this has been The Selling Out Show.